Welcome back to Between the Lines. David and Jonathan are ready to continue sharing wisdom and passion for the Bible's hidden meanings. Let's dive back in.
Yes, the vicious loop there, isn't it? Stuff that science fiction is made of.
It's all true, though.
Oh, absolutely. And thou shalt overlay the boards with gold and make their rings of gold for places of the bars, that thou shalt overlay the bars with gold. Thou shalt rear up the tabernacle according to the fashion thereof, which was showed thee in the mount. There again, which I wanted to repeat that. Mm-hmm. And thou shalt make a veil of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen of cunning work. With cherubim shall it be made. Thou shalt hang it upon four pillars of shittim wood overlaid with gold. Their hooks shall be gold upon the four sockets of silver, and thou shalt hang up the veil under the sachets. A lot of people think this is laborious reading, but you can have fun with this Bible. It's not disrespectful. This is God, the God of love, the God of happiness. And you know what? Sure, we make fun of the Israelites for backsliding over and over and over again. But in my mind, God was present with them. He showed himself. I've heard him speak to me a few times. I have never seen him in person. They seen his tornado. They seen his big cloud of glory. They seen all the wonderful miracles that he'd done. And then a week later, they're just, oh, we're out of water. We're all going to die. You know, God, he made the entire universe, but there's no way he's going to be able to get us some water. We're out in the desert. Yeah, it just, but have fun with it. You know, it's not just a book of reference, although it is a book of reference. You are God's children. Enjoy everything about him. Don't turn him into a stuffy old geezer, because he's not.
Yeah.
You know, when Christ sat down at the table with you to have dinner, you probably got hit in the side of the head with a grape, because he had a great sense of humor, and he just loved to be with people, and he loved his friends. That thou mayest bring in thither within the veil of the ark of testimony, and the veil shall divide unto you between the holy place and the most holy. Thou shalt put the mercy seat upon the ark of the testimony in the most holy place. Thou shalt set the table within the veil, and the candlestick over against the table on the side of the tabernacle toward the south. Thou shalt put the table on the north side. Thou shalt make a hanging for the door of the tent of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen wrought with needlework. Thou shalt make for the hanging five pillars of shittim wood and overlay them with gold, and their hooks shall be of gold, and thou shalt cast five sockets of brass for them. We are here, WVFF 97.7, Veterans for Freedom Radio. Here with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible, this magnificent manuscript, basic information before leaving Earth. That's what you get the first few times you read through it. Read it dozens, if not hundreds of times, and God will increase that information. He says so. He would. If you earnestly search out my mysteries, I will give them to you. Well, I don't understand the language in the Bible. Read it over and over, and God will give you understanding. I promise you that. What'd you say, John?
Oh, I was just going to say the same thing you're saying. It's like the more that you read it, the more that he unfolds.
Yep.
Like you said, even if you don't understand the language, yep, he will reveal it to you.
And so many people don't read it because that's what they say. I don't understand the language. Well, read it anyway. Read it slow and methodically so that your own ears can hear it. And the God of heaven will put understanding in your head. Chapter 27, Book of Exodus. Thou shalt make an altar of shittim wood, 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad. The altar shall be 4 square, and the height thereof shall be 3 cubits. Thou shalt make the horns of it upon the 4 corners thereof. His horns shall be of the same. Thou shalt overlay it with brass, and thou shalt make his pans to receive his ashes, and his shovels, and his basins, and his flesh hooks, and his fire pans, and all the vessels thereof. Thou shalt make of brass, because we know brass is able to withstand the heat, and gold is not. And thou shalt make for it a grate of network of brass, and upon the net shalt thou make 4 brazen rings in the 4 corners thereof. Thou shalt put it under the compass of the altar beneath, and the net may be even the midst of the altar. Thou shalt make staves for the altar, staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with brass. and the stave shall be put into the rings, and the stave shall be upon the two sides of the altar to bear it. Hollow the boards shalt thou make it, and it will show thee in the mount. As it was showed thee in the mount, so shall they make it. Thou shalt make the court of the tabernacle toward the south side southward. There shall be hangings for the court of fine linen of 100 cubits long for one side. And I tell you what, when God showed Moses the future construction of this tabernacle, I guarantee you he didn't show him the first construction. I bet he showed it 20 constructions, because every time they moved, they took it down and they put it up, and they got really good at it.
Right.
And I bet he moved up 5 or 6 years and showed him that time.
Yeah. You see when you guys got this right? Well, I don't know.
Yeah. And the 20 pillars thereof and their 20 sockets shall be made of brass, and the hooks of the pillars and their fillets shall be of silver. And likewise for the north side in length shall be the hangings of 100 cubits long, and 20 pillars and their 20 sockets of brass, and the hooks of the pillars and their fillets of silver. And for the breadth of the court of the west side shall be hangings of 50 cubits, their pillars 10 and their sockets 10. And the breadth of the court on the east side eastward shall be 50 cubits. The hangings on one side of the gate shall be 15 cubits, their pillars 3 and their sockets 3. And on the other side shall be hangings 15 cubits, their pillars 3 and their sockets 3. And for the gate of the court shall be a hanging of 20 cubits of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen wrought with needlework. And if Moses is taking notes at this time, I can see him sitting on a rock and there's pages all around him.
Yep.
And he's just scribbling away, page after page. Then God stops and says, "Are you numbering those pages, Moses? Because you really got a mess there, pal."
Like IKEA furniture and instruction manual.
Wrought with needlework, and their pillars shall be 4 and their sockets 4. And the pillars round about the court shall be filleted with silver. Their hooks shall be of silver and their sockets of brass. The length of the court shall be 100 cubits and the breadth 50 everywhere, and the height 5 cubits of fine twined linen and their sockets of brass. And all the vessels of the tabernacle and all the service thereof and all the pins thereof and all the pins of the court shall be of brass. And thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring the pure olive oil beaten for the light to cause the lamp to burn always. And the tabernacle of the congregation without the veil, which is before the testimony, Aaron and his sons shall order it from the evening to morning before the Lord. It shall be a statute forever, forever unto their generations on behalf of the children of Israel. All right, chapter 28, book of Exodus. And take thou unto thee Aaron, thy brother, and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, Ithamar, Aaron's sons. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron, thy brother, for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him. There we go, the spiritual downloads. Speak to those of that type of business, the ones who make garments. Don't speak to the ones who I have filled with the spirit of wisdom. They will know what to make. A lot of spiritual downloads going on. They will make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And it's interesting to note, verse 2, and thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother for glory and for beauty.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great honor to be a priest of God. And you see what the priests later on did with that. They made these monstrosities of elaborate costumes and expected the people to bow down before them because of their monstrosity of religious costume.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't what God had entailed here. God had said, for glory of the service of the priests and for beauty. And these are the garments which they shall make, a breastplate and an ephod and a robe and a broidered coat, mitre and a girdle, and they shall make holy garments for Aaron, thy brother, and his sons, and his mace, and that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And they shall take gold and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen. They shall make the ephod of gold, of blue, and of purple, of scarlet, and of fine twined linen, with cunning work. It shall have the two shoulder pieces thereof joined at the two edges thereof, and so it shall be joined together. And the curious girdle of the ephod, which is upon it, shall be of the same, according to the work thereof, even of gold, of blue, of purple, of scarlet, and fine twined linen. And thou shalt take two onyx stones, and engrave them on the names of the children of Israel, six of their names on one stone, and the other six on the rest, on the other stone, according to their birth. With the work of an engraver in stone, like the engravings of a signet, shalt thou engrave the two stones with the names of the children of Israel. Thou shalt make them to be set in ouches of gold, which is settings of gold. Set the stones into settings of gold. Thou shalt put the two stones upon the shoulders of the ephod for stones of memorial unto the children of Israel, and Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord upon his two shoulders for a memorial. So he has, like an officer in the army, he has his insignia on each shoulder. Aaron has a stone on each shoulder with the engraved names of the 12 tribes of Israel. Thou shalt make ouches of gold, settings of gold, and two chains of pure gold at the ends, the wreathen work shall thou make them, and fasten the wreath chains to the ouches. Thou shalt make the breastplate of judgment with cunning work, the best work. After the work of the ephod, thou shalt make it. Of gold, of blue, and of purple, and of scarlet, and of fine twined linen shalt thou make it. Four square it shall be, being doubled, a span shall be the length thereof, and a span shall be the breadth thereof. Thou shalt set in its setting of stones, even four rows of stones. The first row shall be a sardius, a topaz, a carbuncle. This shall be the first row, and the second row shall be an emerald, and a sapphire, and a diamond. The third row, a ligure, an agate, and an amethyst. And the fourth row, a beryl, and an onyx, and a jasper. They shall be set in gold in their enclosings. If you go to the book of Revelations, you will see these same stones called out as foundations. The stones shall be with the names of the children of Israel, 12 according to their names, like the engravings of a signet. Every one with his name shall they be according to the 12 tribes. Thou shalt make upon the breastplate chains at the ends of the wreathen work of pure gold, and thou shalt make upon the breastplate two rings of gold, and shalt put the two rings on the two ends of the breastplate. Thou shalt put the two wreathed chains of gold in the two rings which are in the ends of the breastplate, and the other two ends of the two wreathed chains thou shalt fasten to the two ouches, and put them on the shoulder pieces of the ephod before it. And let me just say one thing to those of you that I don't read this Bible because I don't understand it. During your first trip through, you get to these laborious readings where God is giving instructions like this. It's okay to skip ahead. And once you've gotten what you need and you're getting the understanding from God, then you want to go back and read it in its entirety, because there are things to be gleaned even from these laborious portions. Thou shalt make two rings of gold, and thou shalt put them upon the two ends of the breastplates in the border thereof, which is in the side of the ephod inward. And two other rings of gold thou shalt make, and shalt put them on the two sides of the ephod underneath, toward the forefront thereof, over against the other coupling thereof above, and curious girdle of the ephod. This garment sounds heavy to me.
Yeah.
I don't know about
it. It's pure gold, too.
Yeah, pure gold and these stones, and they shall bind. But we got to remember, the pure Hebrew was a powerful creature.
Yeah, yeah.
Heavy to us might have not been heavy to them.
Right, yeah.
Right. And they shall bind the breastplate. You remember how heavy Goliath's sword was.
Not right off the top of the head.
David picked it up and cut his head off with it. And when David and his mighty men were running from Saul, And he went to the temple and said, we need some weapons. He says, all we got here is Goliath's sword. I'll take it. He could yield that. I forget how much it said it weighed.
Right.
But it probably weighed 10 times what a normal man's sword weighed.
Oh, yeah.
But you see, the Hebrew was a strong creature. And they shall bind the breastplate by the rings thereof unto the rings of the ephod with the lace of blue, and it may be above the curious girdle of the ephod, and that the breastplate be not loosed from the ephod. And Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart, when he goeth in unto the holy place for a memorial before the Lord continually. Thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Thum, and they shall be upon Aaron's heart when he goeth in before the Lord, and Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. And you see that the priest was being designed to go in for the people, in place of the people. Mm-hmm. He's got the names of them all over him, on his shoulders, on his breastplate, right above his heart. And he, and it's like it says, and Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. So whatever sins they do, the sacrifice is made, it's put upon the priest's heart. And I can imagine that God physically puts pain in the priest's heart because of the pain of the sin that it causes God. Because it says there, he shall bear the judgment of the children. Now it shall make the robe of the ephod all of blue, and there shall be an hole in the top of it, and in the midst thereof it shall be a binding of woven work round about the whole of it, as if it were a hole and habergeon, and it be not rent. And beneath upon the hem of it thou shalt make pomegranates of blue and of purple and of scarlet round about the hem thereof, the bells of gold between them round about. A golden bell and a pomegranate, a golden bell and a pomegranate upon the hem of the robe round about. So, he got little bells all the way around the bottom of his garment. And that's because, and in later times we're going to find out that when he went in there into the Holy of Holies, they had this long rope. They'd tie it around his waist. And he'd go in and do his priestly things that he was supposed to do, that God instructed him to do. Make the sacrifices, go in and bear the judgment for the children. And all the time, they're out on the other side of the veil, listening for the bells. Yep. You hear one? Yeah. Wait a minute, it's been silent for a few. Oh no, there goes another bell. He's still alive. Because if he were to go into the Holy of Holies with an impure heart, or he had not prepared himself correctly, there's a whole process in preparing the priest to be clean, to go before God, to minister to God. If he were to go in there in an unprepared state, he would drop dead. That's what the rope was for. They would drag his carcass out.
You hear the clatter of Christmas bells.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Can you imagine there's dragging one out? All right. Jonathan, it's your turn. Get yourself ready.
I'm allergic to gold.
Yes. It shall be upon Aaron to minister, and his sound shall be heard when he goeth in unto the holy place before the Lord, and when he cometh out, that he not die. And thou shalt make a plate of pure gold and grave upon it, like the engravings of the signet, holiness to the Lord. And thou shalt put it on a blue lace, and it may be upon the mitre, upon the forefront of the mitre it shall be. And that is a turban. The mitre is a turban.
Okay.
So, and thou shalt put it on a blue lace, and so they're wearing a turban-like headset. Mm-hmm. They're putting this on the front of it, the blue lace on the front of it. It shall be upon Aaron's forehead, and Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things which the children of Israel shall hallow in all their holy gifts, and it shall be always upon his forehead, that they may be accepted before the Lord. Thou shalt embroider the coat of fine linen, and thou shalt make the mitre of fine linen, and thou shalt make the girdle of needlework. So God has put in the metal workers and the seamstresses and all the persons of the Children of Israel to work building this amazing and very intricate house, his tabernacle, and all the fine ornaments that go into it, and all the ornamental clothing that the priests are going to wear. Very specific instructions. And for Aaron's sons, thou shalt make coats, and thou shalt make of them girdles and bonnets. Thou shalt make for them for glory and for beauty. Thou shalt put them upon Aaron, thy brother, and his sons with him, shall anoint them and consecrate them and sanctify them, and they may minister unto me in the priest's office. Thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness. From the loins even unto the thighs they shall reach, and they shall be upon Aaron and upon his sons. And that's interesting, because men didn't wear breeches at the time. Men wore robes. And this is the first sign of breeches. And, women ain't supposed to wear pants in church and this and that. You know what? I'd say that nowadays, you know, men wore robes, dressed like things. So that argument has no water.
Yes, sir.
This is the first sign of breeches right here. And it was for the priest, and they shall be upon Aaron and his sons. And when they come in unto the tabernacle of the congregation, or when they come near unto the altar to minister to the holy place, that they bear not iniquity and die. There again, you don't prepare yourself correctly and you go in this holy place, you will die. It shall be a statue forever unto him and his seed after him. Here with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible and its Beauty and Glory. Chapter 29 of the book of Exodus. It's a little bit of a laborious reading here, but necessary, because we are going to go through this entire book. Chapter 29. And this is the thing that thou shalt do unto them that hallow them, to minister unto me and to the priest's office. Take one young bullock and two rams without blemish, the best of the flock, and unleavened bread and cakes, unleavened tempered with oil, and wafers unleavened anointed with oil of wheaten flour shalt thou make them. Thou shalt put them into one basket, and bring them into the basket with the bullocks and with the two rams. And Aaron and his sons thou shalt bring into the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and shalt wash them with water. Thou shalt take the garments and put them upon Aaron, and the coats and the robes, the ephod and the breastplate, and gird him with curious girdle of the ephod. You see, the priests are taking, this is what we were talking about earlier, if you do not prepare yourself physically to go in there, as well as emotionally and spiritually, you could die. But you see that they say, take Aaron, take his sons. So other people are doing this. They're washing them, and other people are dressing them.
Right.
And thou shalt put the mitre, which we said was a turban, upon his head, and put the holy crown upon the mitre. Thou shalt take the anointing oil and pour it upon his head and anoint him. And thou shalt bring his sons and put coats upon them. Thou shalt gird them with girdles, Aaron and his sons, and put the bonnets on them. And the priest's office shall be theirs for their perpetual statute. Thou shalt consecrate Aaron and his sons. Thou shalt cause a bullock to be brought before the tabernacle of the congregation, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands upon the head of the bullock. Thou shalt kill the bullock before the Lord by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and thou shalt take of the blood of the bullock and put it upon the horns of the altar with thy finger, and pour all the blood beside the bottom of the altar. Thou shalt take all the fat that covereth the inwards of the caul that is above the liver, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, and burn them upon the altar. But the flesh of the bullock, and his skin, and his dung shalt thou burn with fire without the camp. It is a sin offering. So you take certain things from this sacrificial animal, you put them on my altar, and what remains, you take it outside the camp, and you burn it. Thou shalt also take one ram, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands upon the head of the ram. Thou shalt slay the ram, and thou shalt take his blood and sprinkle it round about upon the altar. Thou shalt cut the ram in pieces and wash the inwards of him and his legs, and put them unto his pieces and unto his head. Thou shalt burn the whole ram upon the altar. It is a burnt offering unto the Lord. It is a sweet savor, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Thou shalt take the other ram, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands upon the head of the ram. Thou shalt kill the ram, and take of his blood, and put his upon the tip of the right ear of Aaron, and upon the tip of the right ear of his sons, and upon the thumb of their right hand. And I just got to talk about President Trump here for a minute.
Obvious.
Because I truly believe that God has brought him. I'm going to say some things here that might seem a little odd. I believe he's the last president of the United States, for one thing, truly in my heart. I believe he was put here for the protection of Israel, because there are scriptures in this Bible, and if you want to find them, you call me here at the station, and we'll discuss it. There are scriptures in this Bible that I know specify America absolutely. And one of them says, in the end days, that America will rescue Israel, and the Antichrist will turn all of his heated wrath against the remnant. What it says is the remnant of the Jews that keep my word. And there are so many other specifications there that make it America. It will turn his wrath against this country, and we will be destroyed in 1 hour and never able to wage war again. But the beauty of that is the last great thing that this country does is the protection of God's Israelis. And I truly believe Donald Trump was put here for that reason. Maybe wrong, but I don't think so. And it's not terrifying. It's actually a good feeling seeing these things that happen. But back to the, and thou shalt kill the ram and take his blood and put it upon the tip of the right ear. To be consecrated as a priest, blood was taken from sacrificial animal and placed on the ear of the priest, the right ear. Well, we all know what happened to Donald Trump. God doesn't need it to be an animal. He doesn't need it to be done just like this. But I do believe he done it as a ceremonial anointing. He done it in the way that he did with that bullet. And you see, he raises his right hand. So upon the tip of the right ear of Aaron, and upon the tip of the right ear of his sons, and upon the thumb of his right hand. He got the thumb and the ear. And I truly believe, you know, Donald Trump, I never actually liked the guy. I thought he had a tremendous ego, very arrogant. But I tell you what, something is different about him, and he loves this country, and I truly believe he's had an experience with God, because he is different than he has always been. And I truly believe he is the last president, or the next to the last, but he's there for the reason that I told you earlier, and God has anointed him in this fashion to be his priest to guide America. And upon the thumb of the right hand, and upon the great toe of their right foot, and sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about. Thou shalt take of the blood that is upon the altar. And you remember he said, before he wanted to leave the podium, where's my shoe?
Yep.
Didn't say nothing. We didn't hear anything about any blood on the right toe, but I guarantee you.
Well, you know, it dropped.
I guarantee you there was a spot on there.
Yeah, where I stood up.
Why else did the man lose his shoes?
Yep.
He wears those very... very nice Italian loafers with the tie strings. They don't come off that easy.
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. No.
I tell you, it's happening. It's happening right now. And we are in the last days. And thou shalt take the blood that is upon the altar and of the anointing oil and sprinkle it upon Aaron, upon his garments, upon his sons, and upon his garments of his sons with him. And he shall be hallowed, and his garments and his sons' garments with him. Also thou shalt take the ram of fat, and of the rump, and of the fat that covereth the inwards, and the caul above the liver, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, and the right shoulder, for it is a ram of consecration. And one loaf of bread, and one cake, of one oiled bread, of one wafer, out of the basket of the unleavened bread, that it is before the Lord. Thou shalt put in all the hands of Aaron and the hands of his sons, and shalt wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. Thou shalt receive them in their hands, and burn them upon the altar for a burnt offering, for a sweet savor before the Lord. It is an offering made by the fire unto the Lord. Thou shalt take the rest of the ram of Aaron's consecration, and wave it for a wave offering before the Lord, and it shall be thy part. Thou shalt sanctify the breast of the wave offering, and the shoulder of the heave offering, which is waved, and which is heaved up, of the ram of the consecration, even of that which is of Aaron, for Aaron, and of that is for his sons. And it shall be Aaron's and his sons by a statute forever for the children of Israel, for it is a heave offering, and it shall be a heave offering from the children of Israel, of the sacrifice of their peace offerings, even their heave offerings unto the Lord. And the holy garments of Aaron shall be his sons after him, to be anointed therein. And the holy garments of Aaron shall be his sons after him, to be anointed therein, and to be consecrated for them. So he is the chief priest. And you notice it's saying all these, make all these elaborate things for Aaron, and then it said, and put coats on his sons. You know,
yeah.
Hey, y'all got any leftover material?
Yeah. Come get the burlap sacks.
Yeah. sew some armpits into it, and we need two of them, three of them. And that son that is priest in his stead shall be put them on 7 days when he cometh into the tabernacle of the congregation to minister in the holy place. Now shall take the ram for the consecration, and seethe his flesh in the holy place. And Aaron and his sons shall eat the flesh of the ram, and the bread that is in the basket by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. They shall eat those things wherewith the atonement was made to consecrate and to sanctify them. But a stranger shall not eat thereof, because they are holy. And if aught of the flesh of the consecration or of the bread remain unto the morning, then thou shalt burn the remainder with fire. It shall not be eaten, because it is holy. And thus shalt thou do unto me, Aaron and his two sons, according to all which I have commanded thee. 7 days shalt thou consecrate them. Thou shalt offer every day a bullock for a sin offering, an atonement, and thou shalt cleanse the altar. When thou hast made an atonement for it, thou shalt anoint it to sanctify it. 7 days thou shalt make an atonement for the altar and sanctify it, and shall be an altar most holy. Whatsoever toucheth the altar shall be holy. Now this is that which thou shalt offer upon the altar, two lambs of the first year, day by day continually. Two lambs of the first year, day by day continually. The one lamb shalt thou offer in the morning, and the other lamb shalt thou offer in the evening. And with the one lamb, a tenth deal of flour mingled with the fourth part of a hin of beaten oil, and the fourth part of a hin of wine for a drink offering. And the other lamb shalt thou offer at evening, and shalt do hither also according to the meat offering of the morning, and all according to the drink offering for a sweet savor, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, for I will meet you to speak there unto thee. And there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory, and I will sanctify the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar. I will sanctify also both Aaron and his sons to minister to me in the priest office. And I will dwell among the children of Israel, and I will be their God. They shall know that I am the Lord their God, that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I might dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. And that's all God ever said that he wanted. He wanted his children, and he wanted to live among them and be their God. And he would always have his mouthpiece, the prophet, there to speak to them for him, because we've seen what happened at the Mount when God actually shows up there terrified, and God says, this do, and I will be there among you and live with you. And before long, they want a king.
Yes, sir.
Instead of God Almighty. We're going to leave it right there. Chapter 30, the book of Exodus. You with David and Jonathan on WBFF 97.7.
That's all for this week's episode of Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible. We hope you've enjoyed this journey through the scriptures with David and Jonathan. Join us next time for more enlightening discussions and exploration of the Bible's deeper meanings here on WVFF 97.7 FM, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.